You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to The Punt Podcast, here with William Hill, Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair this week for the FA Cup third round. The magic of the cup could well be back. Well, we'll find out shortly anyway. I'm delighted to say that on the line is Paul McCarthy, who is Executive Secretary of the FWA. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Alex, and Happy New Year.
And the same to you. All okay?
Yeah, good, good. Very relaxing Christmas. Took in quite a few games, I have to say. And loved watching City versus Liverpool last night. I thought it was an absolutely magnificent match. I'm sure Mr. McGovern won't agree, but I thought the best team won.
Interesting. We'll get to that in just a second. Derek, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Great.
That game last night, Derek, we were just mentioning it off air there before we started recording. It was, for the neutral at least, one hell of a spectacle. But as a Liverpool fan, you must have a slightly sour taste in the mouth, maybe?
Well, yes and no, because I was a little bit worried about the fixture, because even though Liverpool had the Indian sign over City last season, 3 wins out of 4, I think it was, I always thought City were much the better team, even when they were getting losing 3-0 at Anfield and 2-1 at their own ground. I thought, they're miles better than us. Now, Liverpool lost last night, but to be honest, there's not that much to choose between these two teams. Now, that was a game City had to win. Liverpool could afford not to lose. And yet, you know, there was a cigarette paper between the two. And in a funny way, though they've closed the gap now, City, to 4 points, it's actually strengthened my belief that Liverpool will win the league, because they're not the great City I thought. There's not much to choose between these two sides. And a 4-point gap, you look at Liverpool's running, 3 fixtures to go against against Big Six opposition. City have 4, which isn't, you know, you think, well, it's not much of a difference, but it is when they're trying to claw back a 4-point gap. And Liverpool have more home fixtures still to come. Mm. Maybe you say that's clutching at straws, but City got more away, and their away form for a team that's supposed to be the best we've ever seen, it ain't that great. 60% of matches won away from home. So if you're a Liverpool fan and you look at the title odds and see there's not much to choose between, they're pretty much joint favourites, Liverpool 8-11. Liverpool are the only team you can back.
If you'd have been offered the chance to be in this position a month ago as a Liverpool fan, you'd have snapped someone's hand off, wouldn't you?
Well, without question. The only minus point, apart from losing 3 points last night, was the manager, Jurgen Klopp. I mean, what he tried last night was similar to what he tried in Napoli in the Champions League. You know, go there, keep it tight, try and get a draw, and maybe one of the men up front might steal something on the break. It never looked like we're in the Napoli. And to be honest, even though they got back into it with our equaliser, they never really looked that threatening. Last night, I don't know. I'm the only person in the world who still has slight doubts about Klopp. But matches like that last night, really. And I mean, there was nothing to choose. Liverpool could easily come away with something. But it was just the approach was all wrong for Liverpool. I'm not happy with that.
I would agree, Del. I mean, I looked at the lineup, and it just felt like it felt just a little bit too conservative, because, you know, when you're playing Milner, Wijnaldum and Jordan Henderson in midfield, I mean, this is all good individually players, but, you know, you put them up against... David Silva was substituted and didn't have his most effective game, but against Bernardo Silva and Fernandinho last night, that was a midfield that was on the front foot. That was a midfield that was trying to get the front players into the game, and there was no deviation from the tactics that Guardiola always uses. I don't think it was the most technically top-class game I've ever seen. But in terms of intensity and in terms of desire, I thought it was a magnificent spectacle for the Premier League. And I thought City embodied those qualities more than Liverpool last night.
You mentioned Bernardo Silva there, Paul. He's a player who's full of class and quality. He's a superb player. Last night we almost saw him, while he still had moments of quality, in more of a hurrying role. He was there to disrupt and annoy, and he was very good at it, but that's not what we associate him with. Fernandinho was immense, but that midfield is, I think, where it was won and lost, really.
Yeah, I would say exactly that. I mean, I think it's Bernardo Silva adapted to the demands of the game, and he realised that, yes, you were. There were going to be moments when he would be able to sort of weave his magic that he does, but there also was a need for just to get around the pitch and to hurry and to scurry. And I know that sounds very, very demeaning and disrespectful. It's not meant to. It's just somebody. A player who recognised what the game needed and adapted his natural game to it. And I agree with Del. I just thought Manchester City posed more of an attacking threat last night because Mane, Firmino and Mo Salah just didn't get the kind of service and couldn't get into the game the way that Liverpool often did.
You'd expect, Derek, though, from here on in, Firmino will be starting 80% of Liverpool's remaining games. You'd have thought he's really adapted very well in the last few weeks, months, and I was surprised to see him not start last night.
Yeah, he did appear to make a difference when he came on, and the fact that he didn't start, it makes you think that Klopp somehow still doesn't quite trust him. Maybe some of his passes go a little bit astray, whereas the three guys he started with are more dependable in that point. One thing I would say about that, though, is, I mean, yeah, it's easy to criticise the Liverpool starting midfield for a lack of flair, but I think Wijnaldum is the man who makes Liverpool tick. And when Firmino came on and Wijnaldum was pushed forward, it took him out of the game, to be honest. And I'll argue all night that second Manchester City goal would never have happened had Wijnaldum still been in his regular position. The gap that City exploited was ridiculous. I take Paul's point. Maybe a little bit more guile is needed. They had three players to start with in the midfield. They were all too similar. You need a little bit of variety. City had that, Liverpool didn't.
Do you really think Wijnaldum's the key man in that midfield?
Yeah, I think he's tremendous, absolutely. I said it last season when he was getting stick. This season he's been pretty much faultless. I think he's a tremendous player.
Because as a Newcastle fan, I watched him for a year and he was great at going forward at home. But away from home, he used to shirk the issue and he didn't look like he had the bottle, really. But I must say, I haven't seen as much of him this season as you have, but because there's a lot of competition in that midfield, isn't there?
Yeah, but he's the guy. He's always the starting guy. I mean, it's him, and then you pick two others around him. It seems to me, and deservedly so. There's no higher compliment. He reminds me of Barnsley when Barnsley dropped back to Liverpool in his later Anfield days, and he was still full of class. Mm. Wijnaldum reminds me of that.
Okay. As for the title race now, Paul, Liverpool are now 8-11 here at William Hill. Man City are 5-4. Now, before the game, Liverpool were short as 8-15, City 13-8. And when Liverpool equalised, they went 4-9 to lift the title. City were as big as 2-1 briefly. Now into 5-4, 8-11 for Liverpool. I think Liverpool are still a good bet at 8-11 to win the league. They've still got that buff, and they've still got the kind games coming up, haven't they?
Yeah, I think as Del said, if you were going to back somebody, you would back Liverpool. I just wonder though whether this Manchester City team gets stronger from here. They've played the vast majority of the season without Kevin De Bruyne. And if you get him into that team, you add even more a technical ability, obviously. But that little touch of genius in spotting a pass that nobody else in the Premier League can spot. I think Leroy Sané has had a lean season, but he looked like a player who'd rediscovered his form and his appetite last night. I thought the most intriguing aspect, and I went on Twitter about it last night, was the matchup between Raheem Sterling and Andy Robertson. And I think that ended with honours even. Mm. I think Sterling has developed into a really, really top-class player. And for Robertson to deal with him the way he did last night was fantastic. It was a great battle. It wasn't quite Cristiano Ronaldo versus Ashley Cole in the European Championships, but it uh, But it had a flavour of that. And I just got a feeling for City getting stronger in the second half of the season. I think they've had their blip. Everybody talks about every team has a blip, and they do. I wonder whether this is not necessarily the start of a Liverpool blip in terms of losing three or four games on the spin or anything like that. But I just wonder whether this might just take the gloss and the edge off this current Liverpool side.
What about you, Derek? Would you back Liverpool at 8-11?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it depends on the worry now. It's not so much the result last night. It's what might happen to Liverpool. They've been defeated now by the biggest rivals. They've got to react. I mean, it's good news that it's an FA Cup match on Monday. Wait a few more days for the next league game. Well, Liverpool's next run of five fixes are against Brighton, Palace, Leicester, West Ham and Bournemouth. I mean, they're great fixes for Liverpool. Mm. You know, and you can imagine if they keep winning those games, and they're going to be odds on for pretty much all of them. You know, that all of a sudden it's game over, I reckon. If Liverpool come through that run of fixtures unscathed, it's all over.
Yeah. Okay. 8-11, Liverpool. City 5-4 for the Premier League title. We've got to delve into the FA Cup action, and it starts on Friday night with Tranmere against Spurs, the first televised game of the weekend. 7:45 kickoff. And you've got a Tranmere side who are pretty good at home, Derek, but they're coming up against a Spurs side who are obviously far superior. That said, Spurs squad isn't the biggest, and the rotation means that the likes of Fernando Llorente will probably start, and he's not very good. Fives on Spurs. Tranmere 12-1, 6-1 the draw.
It's horrible, these kind of fixes, isn't it? Because, you know, it is a massive gap between. We've talked about the league title race and not even mentioned Spurs there, and Spurs still might have a say in it. You mentioned Tranmere's home form, but the reason, you know, I think they've only lost one, I think, this season at home. But the reason they've only lost one at home is they're not coming up against teams like Spurs every week. Mm. Far from it. Spurs' away record is absolutely fantastic. Furthermore, they've gone through from 17 of their last 18 FA Cup ties against opponents from a lower league. The only fly in the ointment is that they were held by Newport last season from League Two. So it is a worry when you're looking at backing at 1-5. But, you know, how on earth could you back Tranmere? This was a team that was almost out of business a couple of seasons ago. The only way to go is to look for some sort of a handicap mark. But even then, it's hard, isn't it? I hate fixes like this because Tottenham will win, but it might be scrappy and they might eke out a 1-0 win later on with Son coming on and scoring in the 78th minute. But it's a tough one. I'd go for Spurs -1 because there's a massive, massive gulf in class, and it's basically how much they want it. And I'm not worried that Tottenham playing away because they do their best work away from home.
Okay. Two's on for Spurs minus a goal. If you're going at slightly more adventurous, Spurs -2 is 7-5, which will make a little bit of appeal to some. What about you, Paul? Which way do you see it going?
Yeah, I think Spurs could change 11 players, play, you know, 11 reserves and win this. I say not necessarily comfortably. I'm not at a stroll like a 3 or 4 or 5, but, you know, not be in any danger whatsoever. Great respect for what, as Del pointed out, great respect for what Tranmere have done of, you know, coming back for the cliche from the brink of disappearing into the abyss. But no, Spurs far, far, far too much for them.
Okay. There's a whole host of your odds markets, as ever, available on the William Hill website. If you like Tottenham to win, have the most corners and the most cards in the match, that is 7-4. Each team to have over one corner in each half, 3-1. These are the kind of markets that you could just have a couple of quid on for a bit of interest in the game. Well, that's coming up on Friday night. Saturday lunchtime sees Manchester United host Reading. 12:30, the kickoff time for this one. And, Paul, Manchester United flying of late under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But, that's the wrong word, because they will win this as well, surely. Reading are pulling up no trees
Reading
in the Championship. They are awful, aren't they?
Reading are awful. I saw them over the Christmas New Year period against Swansea, and they were dreadful. Swansea won 4-1 at an absolute canter. Reading, they've changed managers. They'll just want to get out of Old Trafford, not having been done by a huge amount, which kills and dents confidence even more. Manchester United will win this by 3 clear goals. The danger for Reading is it could be a lot more if if Manchester United really decide to turn it on. But I've got a suspicion Manchester United will be well ahead by the break, and then take their foot off the gas, and that could save Reading from a humiliation.
Okay, they faced off in the FA Cup a couple of years ago, early on, and Man U won that one 4-0. They're 12-1 on to win here. The draw is 8-1. Reading are 35-1. There's only one league between these two, Derek. Should Reading be 35-1?
Well, I did look at the odds. I mean, I couldn't believe it, because you'll get a team from, let's say, a Premier League lower team, let's say Southampton going to Old Trafford, and they'd be like about, what, 14-1, wouldn't they? Not even that, maybe 12-1. Mm. Is there that big a gap between Southampton and Reading? Maybe there is. It just opened my eyes a little bit. Just that you can't back against United in this, because A, because Reading have been so poor lately, and B, because United have been so great under the new manager. If you're a Reading fan, the only crumb of comfort is that you've got a Portuguese manager called Jose, and we've seen how much damage they do to United. United fans will see the FA Cup as important this season, which is ironic, since Fergie 1 year couldn't even be bothered to enter it. And so I can't see them. I mean, even if they weaken, why would they weaken anyway? Why would they weaken down? They ain't going to be doing anything in the league, are they? They've got to treat this competition seriously. I go for Man United -2 goals at 4-5.
Okay, and of course, if you're looking for goal scorers, the likes of Lukaku and Sanchez both came on against Newcastle. Lukaku scored immediately. Sanchez got an assist. They're both likely to start, you'd say. 13-20 any time, Lukaku. Sanchez 4-5. If you do think Reading can score, by the way, and of course, Man U defensively haven't been up to scratch this season, the shortest price any time for a Reading goal scorer is 9-2. So wait until team news and maybe just have a couple of quid on the striker. But nevertheless, looks like Man U are going to land the spoils. That is on Saturday lunchtime. Saturday tea time sees Blackpool against Arsenal. 5:30 the kick-off time here. Now, Derek, Arsenal still concern me defensively. Blackpool are 10-1 here. The draw 24-5. Arsenal are 4-1 on. This, of all of the games that we're going to preview, could be an upset. Blackpool aren't great, but there's still something about Arsenal that makes me think that they can be got at.
Yeah, but probably by teams better than Blackpool. You know, we look at that winning run Arsenal had, and they were just murdering teams. Well, not as bad as Blackpool, better than Blackpool. Premier League teams. But against that, they ran Arsenal close in the Carabao Cup in October, didn't they? It was only 2-1, I think, at the Emirates, Blackpool. They've got a squeak, but Arsenal treat the FA Cup seriously, and, you know, more so this season. The only silverware in the past 12 years, I think. Well, that and the coin Jamie Carragher threw into their crowd. I've got to go for Arsenal here again. I remember Harry Redknapp once saying that the difference between Premier League players and lower league players is not, you know, it's not that the Premier League players are absolutely fantastic, miles better than the lower ones, unless you're talking about the superstars like, you know, Gerrard, Henry, and Pepe. He said it's just that the Premier League players will turn it on more. They will be consistent. You'll get 7, 8 out of 10 from them every week. Whereas, you know, you're not going to get that from the lower league, and that's why the lower league players. In this case, you've got Arsenal do have some top-class performers, maybe not in the Henry and Gerrard league, but fellas who, you know, who can turn on the magic, and they're not going to make any mistakes here. I expect Arsenal to win at least 2 goals.
Okay.
If it was going to be a classic lower league versus Premier League tie with that kind of atmosphere and the kind of frenzy that the FA Cup third round can sort of sometimes embody, I'd say, yeah, Blackpool might have a little sniff. But, you know, their fans are protesting now. They don't go to the home games as a protest against the ownership. So there's not going to be that kind of frenzied, in-your-face atmosphere that Premier League clubs sometimes struggle with in the FA Cup. So I agree with Dell. This is Arsenal at a straw.
Okay. Arsenal on the handicap, minus a goal is priced up at 4-6, minus 2 is 8-5. So potentially a little bit of value to be found there. And enhanced odds as well. Arsenal to win by 4 or more goals has been boosted out to 9-2. And there's plenty of goal scorer markets on there, but expect rotation in the Blackpool-Arsenal game. Right, on to Sunday's action. And the first televised game comes up at 2 o'clock between Woking and Watford. Woking are priced up at 16-1. The draw is 11-2. Watford at 2-11. Woking doing very well, Paul, in the National League South, but of course this is a completely different kettle of fish. And Watford have got quite a big squad. They're the kind of team that I can see making 11 changes and you wouldn't really know any difference.
Not just a big squad, but a physically big squad as well. And you know, I think Watford have been outstanding this season. They've been, you know, very imposing, and they play a kind of a physical brand of football, allied to sort of some really talented players like De La Feo and Doucouré, which has been really effective in the They could finish the best of the outside the big six, if you were. And I think they will make, they'll obviously make changes for Saturday. I think they'll just be, I think quite literally they'll be too strong for Woking. Although it is, when the draw was made, I thought, that's a proper cup tie. I really like the look of that. And I saw it billed as an M25 derby. Well, I don't live that far from Woking. I know it's a long way from the M25. And Watford is a fairly, you know, it's a fair stretch off the M25 as well. So I think we were kind of, somebody was grasping the straws there.
But you do look at the likes, Derek, of Andre Gray and Okaka and players that are going to come into this side. They're surely going to have too much for a side in the National League South.
Yeah, and sometimes you think in a match like this, you know, the ground's not going to be great and, you know, the non-league fellas are going to be extra physical to try and knock the fancy Dan from the Premier League off the stride. But you're not going to do that with Watford, are you? They're not a team that would be out-muscled. I don't know what side will come out smiling. Well, given this is on the telly, probably the other side, because it's not. I mean, I'm surprised it's on TV, to be honest. I mean, Watford got to the semi-final two or three seasons ago, didn't he? 2015-16. They're in a great position in the league. They're not going to trouble the top six. They're not going to be troubled by the bottom six. They've got to give this competition everything, haven't they? They really have. I mean, if why be a Watford fan if your club can't give this competition everything? It's up for grabs for the teams from around about 7th to 12th in the Premier League, the FA Cup, because of what's on the plate of the big six. This competition is up for grabs, and Watford should make a real run at it. I can't believe, by the way, this is a non-league team against a Premier League team, and big gulf in class, obviously. And the Premier League team, you can get 7-5, not far off 6-4, to win by more than two goals. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they do that? It's got to happen.
Okay. Newport Leicester is another potential banana skin. This one Sunday at 4:30. Newport 9-1. The draw 24-5. Leicester at 27-100. I suppose similar comments apply here, Derek, in that Leicester do have a fairly big squad. You know that whatever happens, they're going to pack a punch up front, and surely they're not going to slip up at Newport. But that said, you mentioned Newport have got a fair record in the competition, and they did hold Spurs last season.
Yeah, that's true. I look at Leicester and I think the big six have a bit of a stranglehold on the FA Cup, but teams like Palace, Hull, Villa, Stoke, Portsmouth and Wigan, of course, who won it, they've been finalists in the past nine seasons. Leicester have got to have a real chance of getting there, given a kind draw. And even if they're not given a kind draw, by the way, they've beaten City and Chelsea in recent weeks. So even if they were to get one of the big clubs in the fifth or sixth round, you'd still think they've got a squeak of getting there. Made the last eight last season. They've only gone out with the Carabao Cup at the semi-final stage on penalties. The manager, he seems to be a cup man. He got to Leicester to the quarterfinals last season, I think it was. He got to Southampton to the Carabao Cup final two seasons ago. And he can't be buggering around in this competition, given what's happening around, all the speculation about his job. I think Leicester will go in and win well. In fact, I can't see an upset in this round, which is sad. I suppose it's a good thing. If I can't see it, there's probably going to be loads. I'm going to go for Leicester again to win by a cakewalk. Minus two goals, Leicester.
Okay. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I can't see. I think Newport were very, very good in the cup last year, and as you say, in holding Spurs. The one thing that Leicester won't like and won't have seen for a long, long time is the state of the pitch at Newport, which is regularly underwater. But I think that on this occasion, as you say, you know, for a team that's beaten Chelsea and Man City, to have a manager under pressure still, and everybody's talking about, he's probably only got two or three games to save his job. Claude Puel is an incredible stoic, and it comes out, and all the sort of criticism and the speculation kind of bounces off him. I agree with Del, I think, and I keep saying that in this podcast, which is a bit worrying.
Yeah, most people do.
But I think Leicester pretty comfortably. And I've got a feeling that Leicester is on a cup run this year. I think they'll be fine in the Premier League. Obviously, I don't think they're going to get sucked into anything like a relegation battle. But I do think that with a fair win behind them, they could be one of those cup teams that Dale mentioned earlier.
Okay, Leicester, by the way, if you fancy them to lift the trophy, are priced up at 20-1. Man City 7-2, Chelsea 6s, with Liverpool at 6-1, 13-2 Man U, Spurs 8s, Arsenal 9s, Everton 16s, Leicester 20s and 25s, and bigger the rest. The final game that we're going to talk about comes up on Monday evening. Wolves against Liverpool. Wolves are 100-30. The draw is 27-10. Liverpool are 4-5. We've obviously spoken about Liverpool a fair bit on the podcast already, Paul. So let's talk about Wolves. They are one of those sides that are having a fair season and are entitled to have a good crack at the FA Cup. That said, it couldn't be a much more difficult tie for them.
No, I think, you know, the Wolves came up and they were going to be, the greatest team that's ever been promoted into the Premier League or even the top flight. And everybody seems to forget about Nottingham Forest back in the day. I think they play a really decent, exciting brand of football. I've got a huge admiration for the way that Nuno has set them up. But I think this is too much for them. I like them. I think they'll have a sensationally good Premier League season because they've got that kind of flair that allows you to attack teams and we've seen that in the league so far in the first half of the season. But I just think this is I think this will be beyond them.
Okay, Derek. Team news will be key here. You've got Sturridge. You've got Origi, Lallana, Moreno, Klein. They're the kind of players that could be coming into this side, and I don't really want to back a team at 4-5 if those five are playing, with all due respect to them.
No, those players will be coming into this game as well, because it's absolutely certain. So you've seen what teams Liverpool have fielded in FA Cup games in recent seasons. You know what? Every team has its share of idiot fans, and Liverpool are no different. And we'll hear all the idiots over the weekend. Oh, we've got to bounce back from the City defeat. We've got to win this one. No, we haven't. We need to go out of this competition. Listen to this. Liverpool went out in round four last season to West Brom. They reached the Champions League final. In 2005, they went out in round three to Burnley. They reached the Champions League final. In 2006, 2007, they went out in the third round to Arsenal. They reached the Champions League final. There are two big tilts at the league in recent seasons. 2014, 2009, they went out early in the FA Cup. What does that tell you? Liverpool will go out early. Wolves are 7-2. That's only half a point less than they were for the league match when they were playing a Liverpool side that wants to go there and win. They're playing a Liverpool side that, in my eyes, shouldn't give tuppence about this match, and they're only half a point short, 7-2. I think Wolves are absolute certainties. The better the better of the round.
Okay. That 7-2 is gone, by the way, 100-30. So already...
See, my words have an effect.
The McGovern millions are on, clearly. Wolves 100-30 then, so... A minor upset, you'd say, on Monday night. Are there any upsets elsewhere? Derek, have you been perusing? I know you said you don't think there'll be many. Can you see any?
Well, no, I can't really. I mean, I wouldn't even class that as an upset, the 7-2 Wolves. I think it's next door to a certainty, to be honest. I hate the third round of the Cup now. It used to be great. It used to be a date you look forward to, and now it's just a... It's almost like the international fixtures. You know, you're not really looking forward to it. Birmingham, I think West Ham seems to have fallen off a cliff at the moment. And Birmingham are 6-1 to go there and win. Going to the London Stadium doesn't fear anybody now, apart from West Ham fans. And 6-1 Birmingham might just be my idea of an upset. But other than that, my nap will be Wolves.
Okay. Paul, what about you, upset-wise? Anything?
As a West Ham fan, I can only share Derek's trepidation about that match. I can't really see too much. I had a look down the list of fixtures, and probably 10 years ago, you said, "Well, I really fancy that for an upset." This time around, I can't see it myself. I can't see one.
Okay, if I was going to throw one in the mix, possibly Peterborough at the Riverside. 5-1 to go there and win. You couldn't get two sides with more different playing styles. Middlesbrough will try and defend, but Peterborough may just go there and go gung-ho and upset
and
them.
And they've got one of the in-form strikers at the moment in Ivan Toney.
They do.
I think he's got a hat-trick in the last round, including one from the halfway line. So Middlesbrough have been warned.
Yeah. Okay, nap-wise, you mentioned Wolves, Derek. Paul, what would your best bet be?
Best bet, and I hate to do it, Birmingham at West Ham, I guess.
Okay, 6-1 for Birmingham away at West Ham. And as for my nap, I'm convinced that Blackpool don't embarrass themselves against Arsenal, so I'm going to go Blackpool +2, which is against everything else that's been said on the podcast, but hey, I'm different. 21-20 for Blackpool +2 goals in that one. Good luck with your bets, listeners, on FA Cup third round weekend. We're going to hear some best bets from around Europe now and from around the lower league sides in action, but good luck with your bets. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
And thank you, Paul.
Cheers, Alex.
This week's European nap sees us revisit the top flight in Portugal for Saturday night's 8:30 kickoff between Maritimo and Porto Moinense. And this is a straightforward nap, really. Both these sides are priced up at 17-10, but it's difficult to see why, because Porto Moinense have much better credentials in terms of winning this one. They have to be the nap at 17-10 this week. Maritimo are on one of the worst runs anywhere in Europe. They've collected just 1 point from their last 10 games in league competition, not scoring many goals along that run either. So they should be pretty easy for Porto Moinense to pick off here, who themselves are in really good form, having won 4 of their last 5 games. The only defeat during that run came at the hands of Porto, which is pretty forgivable, and they were 2-0 winners over Benfica the last time we saw them. So being able to beat Benfica 2-0, they should really be up to beating this Maritimo side and beating them quite comfortably. Porto Moinense are slightly weakened by the fact that their star man Shoya Nakajima is off on Asian Cup duty with Japan. He's a player who's attracted attention from Manchester United, Wolves, Southampton and Leicester, amongst others. But really, Porto Moinense should still have more than enough to dispatch a Maritimo side who are in pretty desperate form at the moment. So Porto Moinense away from home have to be the nap this week. 17-10 looks a good price.
Not too many games to choose from in League One this weekend because of FA Cup action, but I'm choosing Charlton and Sunderland as the game that involves my nap, and it's over 2.5 goals at evens. Also, both teams to score 8-11 is pretty glorious. A quick look at the evidence. Charlton Athletic have scored in the last 10 games straight at the Valley, and recently at home, 2-3, 2-2, and 2 is what they've scored at home. Sunderland, away from home on their travels, have scored in every single away game this season. So Charlton are scoring plenty at home. Sunderland are scoring every single game away from home. Combine the two, there's your two bets. Both teams score, yes, 8-11, but over 2.5 goals at evens is my play between Charlton Athletic and Sunderland. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
So all three League Two sides still in the Cup have Premier League opposition. Better skip that and get to the league instead. Colchester, Yeovil +1, Carlisle, all good prices. But I'm going for Morecambe against Crewe. A Crewe side who have 2 wins in 3, including a home win over leaders Lincoln. Morecambe have lost 2 in 3. They're 5 places worse off in the table. So you would expect the traders to make Crewe the favourites. That is exactly what they've done. And they are wrong for doing it. For one simple reason. Crewe are the worst away side in the division. 1 win from 13 on the road, losing 10 of 13, including all the last 5, in which they've scored once and conceded 10. That is including games at Northampton and Crawley, who, like Morecambe, are below them in the table. Morecambe are also poor on the road, but they're not away, are they? Carlisle, who are the league's most informed side right now, did win at Morecambe on New Year's Day. That is Morecambe's first home defeat since October. October, by the way, the last time Crewe got even a point on their travels, and yet the away side are fabs, and Morecambe are 7-4.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.